is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. It's simple. I create art because it makes me happy, said painter Amy Van Winkle. Continuing, I try not to overthink the process of what I'm painting and let my intuition be my guide. My paintings become a dialogue of layers with transparent and opaque details. Amy Van Winkle is a part-time Telluride local and the featured artist at Slate Gray. Opening night of her show is Art Walk, which is February 6th, but her work will be up at the gallery for the month of February. Amy, thanks for taking time away from your studio to talk with me today.
Oh, sure. Oh. I'm happy to do it.
So let's begin with your backstory, some personal history. Did you grow up in an artistic family? Was there anything in your upbringing that foretold a career as a painter?
Well, I wouldn't say that my family was overly artistic, although I will tell you that we had this lovely painting in my parents' home that was painted by my great-great-grandmother. It was this old Dutch scene landscape, and I always loved it. It was just this, you know, beautifully kind of serene painting, and I was always kind of like, you know, just always admired it. And my other great-grandma was a quilter. My mom's a quilter. So I don't know, you know, that's probably about as far as the arts go in my family. But, you know, I think there was definitely some inspiration. I know I always loved that, the structure and the sense of control that quilts provided. And I was always kind of fascinated with that. So I'd probably say that those women, you know, had an influence. Definitely. I don't know about anything that would, you know, kind of foretell a career in the arts. I did have an interesting childhood, if you want to hear about it a little bit.
Sure.
But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of actually kind of a horrible experience, but kind of set the course for my life. One of those kind of moments. I always talk about kind of those moments in your life that kind of like set you on a new path. And I had a few of those, but this one was, I was six, and I had an older brother who was, you know, just like my best friend and I called him my little soulmate, but unfortunately he was hit by a car and killed when I was six and he was almost nine. Yeah, it was pretty horrific. And, you know, obviously my parents were devastated, and, you know, my dad traveled a lot for work and my mom just, you know, she just wasn't available. So I spent a lot of time alone, a lot of time in my head and, you know, just kind of trying to keep myself busy and sort through things. So, you know, it kind of transitioned, I think, into me, like, just spending, again, a lot of time alone as a teenager and listening to music and sketching and just trying to kind of sort things out. So I don't know if that was why I became an artist, but I certainly know that that's, you know, part of my history. I think that kind of contributed to everything in my life. So, yeah.
Okay. Great answer, and thank you. For sharing that. Why then the move to Hong Kong, and how did the experience of living abroad change your life?
Well, the short answer is a boy or a man. but yeah, I was, you know, I ended up moving to Hong Kong. It was in 2000 and I was just 31 and I was working, I had worked in marketing and advertising throughout my 20s, and I was working for a direct marketing company in Chicago, and I was really hating my job, honestly. It just wasn't feeding me in any way except for my pocketbook, and I was looking to just really change my life up. And so I decided, although I was painting and I was doing a lot of kind of collage work at the time, it didn't even ever occur to me that I could make money from it or, like, do it as a career. So I was going to get my certification in yoga. And so I was working this full-time job and I was trying to get the certification. And at that time, my partner calls me and he said, "Hey, how do you feel about moving to Hong Kong for a while? I've got an opportunity." And I literally said, "When do we leave?" And we did. We left a few months later. And so it was because of his job. So, but I really, it was such an amazing experience. When I first got there, I mean, I just literally, it was kind of like the same thing when I was a kid. I would wander, I would explore. I spent a lot of time in my head, but it was just like this amazing city. I don't know if you've ever been, but,
yes, I have.
You know, it's just such a, yeah, you know, then it's such a vibrant city. I mean, the colors, the smells, the architecture, the language. I started learning Cantonese, and it was just, I was never bored. And from there, I really got brave. I started exploring other countries, either with friends or on my own. And, you know, I would fly into Bangkok, and then I flew into Vientiane, Laos on my own. And then I took another plane up to Luang Prabang, which I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's
yes.
magical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, too. And it's like, so it was just this whole new world that opened up to me. Honestly, just these new cultures, you know, new art, new food. And it's to this day, I would say it was the best education I ever received. So, yeah,
wonderful.
It's just a great experience. So, yeah.
So then somehow you found your way into the world of painting and encaustic painting, which is really, really challenging. What was your training in art?
I didn't really have much, honestly, except for, you know, like I said, I would sketch all the time, and I honestly pretty much taught myself to paint. I went to school in Ohio, and I was doing what, you know, good girls do, and you get your marketing degree, and you get a job that could pay the bills, and I really wanted to get out and make money. I mean, that was, and be independent. And so, but when I was in college, I ended up taking my first art class, and the instructor was really impressed with my work and just really encouraging to me. And I just loved it. I was actually lit up for like the first time in college, you know, and I was really excited about something. And so I got my BSBA. And I started putting my portfolio together after I graduated. And I actually had a meeting at CCAD, which is the art college in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about going back to school. And then I started working and started to make money. And I just, honestly, I just never went back. So I continued just kind of on my own, you know, just kind of pursuing art on my own and just teaching myself and playing with different materials. And it's when I moved back from Hong Kong, I ended up opening a store in Chicago, a home decor and art store. And, you know, my motto is always like, ignorance is bliss. Like, I always excel at things I don't know anything about. And it was such a great experience. And, you know, with the traveling, it was like just this excuse to keep going back to Asia too every year. But I also started representing artists from Chicago, and then I started showing my work. And this is, you know, in like 2002, 2003, and I started, you know, selling and getting a following. So, but my work was really different back then. I painted with acrylic. I did a lot of mixed media and very structured work. But then in caustic, the move was, because I was doing these kind of collages and that, and I was looking for a way to do photo transfers, a new way. And I was using, you know, gel mediums with the acrylic, and it was working, but I wasn't really always happy with the results. And I had been reading about encaustic, and I mean, it's one of those mediums where you can just do so much with it. You can, you know, the surfaces you can create all kinds of textures, or you can make it smooth. You can incorporate different materials in it. It was just this amazing medium. And so I just got my hands on every book I could, every article I could read about it online, every video, and I just started. Again, it's just like that unknown, and I just don't have any fear, and I just do it. And then now I've been doing it for so long, it's just so comfortable for me. So to me, it's very easy. And I paint in oil too, but I find oil much more challenging for me. So, So it's not an easy medium, but I enjoy it. It's not a medium you can obviously take, you know, on the road with you and just go outside and paint somewhere, because you need electricity and heat and mm-hmm. and all of that. But yeah, I just love it. I love it. I love the versatility of it too.
I think some of our listeners might be interested in understanding your process. Would you please describe it?
My process, yeah. As far as the technique of encaustic itself?
Yeah, how you approach encaustic.
Okay.
There are various ways to do it. How do you do it?
Yeah, well, so encaustic, the medium itself is filtered beeswax in Damar resin. So that's actually the medium, and it's just a clear medium. And from there, you know, you heat it, heat to about 200 degrees. So I work on like a stainless steel palette, and you add pigment as you go. And there's different ways you can add pigment. I tend to use a brand called R&F Paints. They have these just wonderful colors. They're highly pigmented wax, basically. And I mix that in with my encaustic medium. And so as you, I work on wood panels too. I work on birch wood. Mm-hmm. You want, okay. I mean, there are people that work on canvas and that, but usually that canvas is adhered to wood because you really don't want any flexibility with wax. Mm-hmm. So it's a stable. So I heat the wood, and basically I apply it with a brush, and then at between each layer you fuse it. I use a torch to fuse it. And so that's how you build layers. And it's a great, it's a great medium, I think, for the impatient painter, which is what I am, because okay. Once it cools, it's done. You know, like with oil, you have to wait for it to dry, or, you know, you can work wet and wet, but it just takes a long time, and caustic's a much faster process when working with layers, and that's what I love. So one of the things I love about it, obviously, you can build the transparency with the medium is amazing. It's one of my favorite things about it. So, and you can dig into it. You can mark into it. There's just, again, endless possibilities. You can build texture with it. So, did that answer the question?
Yes, it did. Very, very
well. Okay. Okay, great.
So who or what would you say are your major artistic influences?
Oh boy. I have so many influences and inspiration. I mean, moving to Santa Fe from Chicago, which was about 4 years ago, and then, you know, spending a lot of time in Telluride. I mean, we live in the mountains. We live at 8,000 feet here in Santa Fe. I mean, it's just, you know, there's inspiration all around. Every day I pinch myself. I feel like so much gratitude for living here. Like, I feel so lucky. The light in Santa Fe is like nothing I've ever experienced. I don't even know how to describe it. But it's just magical here. And obviously the landscape. So those are definitely inspirational. I love to go to galleries, and I'm in kind of art mecca here. So obviously there's like, I don't know, I would assume it's one of the highest concentration of galleries in the world is in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I know it's one of the largest art markets in the U.S. and, you know, it's just, it's not unusual for me to just go park my car on Canyon Road or down in the rail yard district and just kind of walk around. And I mean, I think as an artist, you always kind of have to, you know, look and kind of see what other people are doing. And just, you know, I don't know, just for ideas or, you know, for different palettes or just it's because it's fun, you know? But so I would say, so I do that a lot. I went to Art Basel for the first time in December, and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Down in Miami, just like, pure energy. I mean, just the diversity of the art. It was just really exciting. And so that was really inspirational. Yeah, I mean, I love details in art. So I loved, you know, I'll go up to a piece and I love to study it and see, try to think about how they made it and what, you know, then when you hear about the inspiration and other artists' inspiration, it's, you know, that's just energizing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the artists that I really admire and I've been reading more about is Agnes Martin, and I've always kind of felt a connection to her work, and she's kind of revered as this artist of, you know, these quiet kind of serene paintings that evoke kind of this meditative response, and that's really what I'm going for with my work. I love the idea that someone could come in and stare at my work, get lost in the layers and even the simplicity of it, and hopefully, you know, have a good feeling or feel at peace or feel happy. And, you know, she talked about the contrast between material and the suggestion of something other, like a memory or a feeling, and that's definitely what I'm going for as well. Kind of, you know, I talk about building a history in my paintings. And then, you know, just like everybody, we talk about some of our history and some of it we don't talk about. So it's like some things you show to the world and some things you keep hidden, you know, and some memories, they're not really memories because we don't remember them, you know. maybe other people do, and you kind of go, I don't remember that happening. But, yeah, so it's kind of fascinating. And my dad also, my dad has Alzheimer's, so it's always, you know, I'm always thinking about the memories with him and his childhood memories, and they're like how precious they are. So, yeah. And, you know, and I love also Agnes Martin, her idea that, you know, the value in someone's art is with the observer. And, you know, as much as I love expressing my creativity, and as much as art making for me is kind of meditative and just something I just, that kind of feeds my soul, I love when somebody else looks at my work and, you know, it feels happiness or buys the work and puts it in their home. It's like the ultimate goal, you know, it's just for somebody to like it that much that they want to have it around. And it's like, and happiness is the ultimate goal, you know, in my opinion. So for me making it, and for somebody who's buying it, I think just to enjoy looking at it.
Great. Yeah. So thank you for that. And finally, your art is carried by a number of galleries now, a growing number. Now, including Slate Gray, Telluride. Did you find owner Beth McLaughlin, or did she find you?
Well, I found them because as much as I love to create art, I also really love to buy art. And after Mike and I, my husband, we purchased a place in Mountain Village, and so we needed to buy some art. And so we went in the gallery there, and, I mean, it's such an amazing collection of artists. I was so impressed, and so we ended up buying some work there, and then I showed Beth my work, and she really liked it, and I had a show in Santa Fe in October, and I invited them, you know, if they were coming through Santa Fe, if they wanted to come and look, and Becca, her gallery director, actually came into town after my show had opened, and we met, and then she was able to go and see my work, that's how it happened. So, and then I delivered some work up, and I'm taking some more work up here in a couple of weeks before the show. So it's pretty exciting.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be speaking with Amy Van Winkle. She's a part-time Telluride local with a primary home in Santa Fe, and she is the featured artist for the month of February at Slate Gray Gallery. Amy, thanks for taking time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.